And welcome back. The Missouri legislature's veto override session is over, a one-day session in which legislators considered 18 vetoes. 10 of the vetoes were overridden. St. Louis Public Radio political reporter Joe Manis joins us now to do a little post-mortem on the brief session. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for asking me.
Well, how did the governor come out of it, and how did the legislature come out of it? Are there winners and losers?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. From the Republican perspective, the governor didn't come out too good. They had 10 of his vetoes were overridden. Add that to all the previous ones he's had during his tenure, and according to Republicans, he's the most overridden governor ever in Missouri history. Now, to be fair, he's a Democrat. They're Republicans. The Republicans now have pretty large majorities in the General Assembly. Now, from the Democratic perspective, though, the governor was successful because he and his allies managed to fight off the highest profile veto, which was of the bill, the right to work bill, which would have barred unions and employers from requiring all workers in a bargaining unit to pay dues. That was the marquee veto of the veto session. That had been one of the marquee bills of the General Assembly session earlier this year. This was the first time it had gotten through the General Assembly. This was something that the Republicans and their donors wanted very badly, and in the Missouri House, they fell 13 votes short of the number needed.
But this
issue—it was dead.
This issue is not over, though. I think everyone is acknowledging that it's likely to be back again next time.
Correct. House Speaker Todd Richardson told me after the session was over yesterday that they're going to work about maybe coming up with some sort of compromise that would at least attract enough of those 20 defecting Republicans to get them to where they would have the 13 needed to override. But whether or not that happens next session, I don't know. They will definitely try. It's already a big issue in the governor's race. Virtually all the major Republican candidates for governor are announcing that they are for right to work, and that if they're elected, they'll sign it right away. And, of course, Chris Koster, who's the Missouri Attorney General and Democratic candidate for governor, has made clear that he opposes right to work, and he's portraying himself as the one person who's standing in its way if he gets elected governor.
I'm gathering that court action is likely on at least a couple of these issues, the cuts in unemployment benefits being one of them, and the ban on local communities from increasing the minimum wage.
Yes, and for two different reasons. For the unemployment bill, the governor, who's a former attorney general, is contending that because the Missouri House voted to override during the regular session, because his veto was early enough that they could act during the session, he's contending that the Senate failed to act during the proper time, and therefore their action on Wednesday was too late. They got exactly the number they needed to override, but he's contending that they needed to do it several months ago. Now, the Senate leaders are disagreeing, but this is likely going to end up in court because it likely would go into effect right away. That bill cuts unemployment benefits to 13 weeks when the state's unemployment rate is under 6%, which it is right now. So people would no longer qualify for the 20 weeks. It would go to 13 weeks. And so you can expect there will probably be a court fight on that one very quickly.
Well,
the local control bill, it's different. It's because they dealt with plastic bags and minimum wage in the same bill. And critics point to a previous bill, unrelated, several years ago, where the state Supreme Court tossed it out because it dealt with two different subjects in the same bill.
All right. Well, how is that going to impact likely what's been going on here in the city of St. Louis? I mean, there's a court issue here as well with the proposed minimum wage increase.
Well, in the short term, it may not affect them at all because, A, they've got the unrelated court fight in St. Louis, and, B, this court fight will likely take a while. It could be months, maybe a year before it's resolved. The issue is going to be whether or not you can deal with plastic bags and minimum wage and employee benefits in the same bill. So that one could take a while, especially because they'll probably have to snake all the way up to the state Supreme Court to get finally resolved. They may take a while before they file suit on it.
Only have 30 seconds left. Were there any real surprises that you would consider as a result of yesterday's activity in 30 seconds?
No. and Todd Richardson said that last night during the the post-session press conference. He said the same thing. No.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joe. We have more details on all of this on our website at stlpublicradio.org. And thank you, Joe Manis, for your yeoman's work, as usual. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Thanks, Joe. On Monday, the Ferguson Commission presented its report, which contained many calls to action. The obvious question is, where do we go from here to implement them and effect real change in the region? We'll address that question Monday evening at a town hall meeting at Wellspring Church in downtown Ferguson, and you are invited to be part of the audience. Doors open at 6:15, and the conversation begins at 7 o'clock. For more information, go to stlpublicradio.org. That does it for us for today, but Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about current issues pertaining to the law with our Legal Roundtable panel. But tomorrow, join Steve Potter for Cityscape, where he'll talk with St. Louis Symphony Music Director David Robertson. He'll also take a look at Arts and Faith St. Louis's interfaith concert, Building a Harmonious St. Louis, as well as a concert marking the centennial of the French chanteuse Edith Piaf. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with Kelly Moffitt with production assistance from Anya O'Connor. Aaron Dorr and Spencer Reed also help out. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.